Thank the Lord for Kevin singing this morning, and some of you didn't make the connection there. Brother Chris was wounded in Germany and recovering pretty well. I was pretty impressed by his photos there with the family and soldiers praying for him. That was great, and parents Bruce and Paula being able to be here. Thank you so much, and for your life and witness for Christ also. It's a great blessing. To ask the Lord to bless our nation this morning, which He greatly desires to want to do through you and I. And we need those blessings also. I heard Charles Colson on Focus on the Family last week talking about our number one domestic task. And he was in government life, so he thinks in those terms, number one domestic task. And I was wondering, what's he going to say? You know, he could pick 10 things, dozen things to work on. He said our number one domestic task was to build character in our nation, character or virtue. And so he pointed to my soul and your soul as needing to be very healthy if America was going to be healthy. Okay, so the character that we have impacts the life of the nation. So we say, America, God shed His grace on thee. We need your help, Lord. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who God used to make an impact on his own nation and on America, said this: the line between good and evil passes through every human heart. When you think about the truth of that, the Bible teaches that. Good and evil in our lives, good and evil in the nation, the line between good and evil passes through every human heart. We could say the line of the good and evil of our nation passes through every Christian's heart. Just thinking about that responsibility we have to walk with the Lord, make an impact, and how He can change us so He can change the nation. Did you ever try to change the people around you? You could say, I want to change the country for Jesus. Well, Jesus will give you a lot to do at that point. Or I want to change my family. If I can only change working on my young ones, get them straightened out, everything will be all right. Bosses, they try to change each other. It's their whole reason for getting married. I'm out to change you, honey. You know, they never get anywhere. But you know what the Lord tells us? He says, if you want to see an impact change in somebody else, get yourself changed. That's really the only way anybody else is going to change. Is that if you change and I change, that's where the impact comes. And we need the Lord's intervention to help our soul, the health of our soul. If we're healthy, America will be healthy. Our soul is not healthy by itself. The Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. So we come, you know, it's almost like a very disabled person who has a lot of illnesses. And without help for themselves, they're not going to be able to assist others. So we turn to God and we say, give me a cure for my heart, because without you it's beyond cure. And I'll fool myself all the time unless God deals with the health of my soul. So we turn to God for that this morning and see how He has provided for health for our soul. And once He gives us of Himself, how we're to make every effort to have Him develop our character. So it's kind of a look inside today, to see how the Lord is doing with your health inwardly. Put some things on the screen with the guys' help. And I did want to say, when Wes was reading the scripture there, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And then Peter says, add to these things faith, goodness, knowledge. I wanted to say, that's enough, just those three. That's almost too many. You know, but God says the whole character of Christ He would give us as a gift. And we're to make the best possible effort in having the character of Christ change us and our character. So to start off, God has blessed us very much. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. If you ever think, boy, I've received Christ in my life, but I don't know if I have it, what it takes to follow Jesus. Yes, you do. throughout the Bible, God says, Christ is your life. Okay, you have what it takes in your character if you've received Christ. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. So we take responsibility for the health of our own soul. That's when we stand before God someday and He says, how'd you think it went on there? And it's a sobering time. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So if I am lukewarm, I say I'm lukewarm because I chose to be lukewarm. If I'm away from God, it's because I didn't draw near to God. If I'm close to God by His grace, I had a chance to know Him. So He's given us that, to know that God is you in you is more powerful than everything that's bad. It's a pretty nasty world out there. A lot of sin. Foot by foot, sin is more and more prevalent. And foot by foot, Christ in your life can be more and more prevalent in the character of your soul, which would outshine the evil in the world, according to the Bible. Because light always outshines the darkness. America's soul needs our soul to be healthy. How does God equip us? First of all, He calls us salt and light. We prevent decay and we shine a path on how people are to live. So to impact the nation, get my soul changed by God. Let God work on that. That's the best thing I could do. Same thing with a family. If I want my family to be healthier, I have to start with my character. Community, same thing. Church, same thing. So God has given us that, and we throw ourselves into it with ever-increasing enthusiasm. We're called stars in the universe. I don't know if it's true, but put young people on the spot. If you ask 100 young people, would you rather be rich or famous? Supposedly 90% say, I'd rather be famous. I don't know what the attraction is in that. But in heaven, you're famous already. Okay, you're a star in the universe. God is put there to brighten up the dark night. So take that on as the truth about yourself. You're Christ ambassadors. Wes mentioned that in the beginning. So in our character, God has given us the ability to represent the Lord. We do so by leaning on Him. And we're saints and missionaries. If you ever do a study of famous Christians, you'd be pretty impressed on how they have impacted people. Coming to church, my son and I got to hear Franklin Graham. And I was explaining to him who Franklin Graham was and who Billy Graham was. And he was pretty amazed about their backgrounds. And yet, if you know Christ, you're a saint. That's what God says. And you're a missionary. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So it's like the Lord drops down 4,000 missionaries in the greater Norwin area. You know, if you know Jesus, you're a part of them. What an impact that would make. You just serve where you're at and follow Christ in your soul. And the impact is made and passed on. Make every effort. This is where our effort has to be a gift of God's grace, or we really won't have the energy we need spiritually. Make every effort. Give all diligence, hard work, exercising, and developing. So throw yourself into it in that way. Take care of your soul by being attentive to it. When we go flying on the airplane, you know, just like you all, we get the stewardess speech. They say, if something goes wrong, the oxygen mask comes down, put it on yourself first. You got to put it on yourself first, then you'll be able to help those around you who are a little bit, don't know what to do. Put the oxygen of God, the fresh air of the Holy Spirit to fill each of us so we could help others who are struggling along the way. Do so with all diligence and hard work so that you and I as Christians, we're more like an army, less like a resort. I hope you kind of see your fellowship with God like that and the church. Church more like an army, less like a resort. When I go to a resort, I sit back and I say, give me. give me the water. Give me, show me where the pool is. Give me. If you're in the Army, you don't say, give me. You say, what do you want me to do next? So we're more like an Army, less like a resort. Make every effort. Work hard with all diligence. If we don't, we only receive from God what we put into it with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I remember taking a swimming class in high school, gym class. You have to take swimming every once in a while, 10th grade. And my goal, I could do a lot of things on land and water. I can't do a lot. So the teacher said, we have two groups, advanced and beginners. Advanced are in the deep, beginners are in the shallow. I knew how to swim, but I knew advanced. I saw what they did, swimming a lot of laps, treading water for 10 minutes at a time. I thought, I'm going to sink. I'm going into the beginners. Beginners, this is what the beginners do. Put your head in the water, take it out. Put your head in the water, take it out. Breathe this way. And I thought, I could do that. The only thing I had to do for 10 weeks to get an A, swim from one side of the pool to the next. Don't tell anybody, I could do that right now. And what did I gain from that time? I made minimal effort. I improved zero in terms of character or ability as a swimmer. You don't want to be that way as a Christian. You want to make every effort. You say, throw me out in the deep where I have to rely on God. And I have to throw my whole life into it just to live. No, okay. I think we understand now what it means to follow Jesus. We begin to ask ourselves about our own relationship with God so we can make every effort. And God says, add to your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, and love. These are qualities the Lord would build into us. 1 John 3 says, if you do not love your brother or you do not practice righteousness, you are not of God. That's a sobering wake-up call. The Bible shines a light on us and says, do you know that you've received Christ? Maybe you haven't received Christ. If there's not a passion in your heart that says, I want to live right and I want to love my brother, good possibility you have not received the Lord. Maybe you were emotional about him for a short time. But overall, he don't have the reins of your life. John says, make sure about that. Peter says, make your calling and election sure. In other words, be sure about Christ in your life. The qualities there are gifts, and to be making every effort that they increase. I think a tough test is in Galatians 5. The fruit of God's Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. If you and the Lord sit down and say, does that feel like me in my soul? I can just feel myself being patient, you know, and joyful, kind, faithful. Or ask somebody who's close to you. Would they say, well, yeah, that's the way you are. Did you ever hear the phrase, this guy did something wrong. Usually we use it in reference to something wrong. He did something wrong, but that's just the way he is. Okay, that's just the way he is. Or she went this way, and that's just the way she is. What are you going to say? But you, before God, you and the Lord, and maybe someone in your family, they say, you know, that's the way you are. Love, joy, patient. You're a very patient person. Faithful. That's just the way he is. That's just the way she is. Make every effort to make sure that's happening in your life. Because Peter said, if it's not, you're blind and you forgot about Jesus dying for your sins. So again, the high likelihood. Who was it? Shelley was talking about the church not shining as we are called to shine. This is a sobering thing. When I look at these things, I think, I want to work on my character with God's help. It's not that my work is going to make it happen, but at least I'm going to throw everything at His feet and say, resurrect anything in me that is dead. God will do that for you. Is the salvation real? It's some questions to help you respond to God, to make every effort, have these qualities in an increasing way. Ask yourself, are you receiving and giving love between you and God? When you are very committed to somebody or very affectionate toward them, this really becomes the focus of your life. Lord, how can I honor you? How can I serve you today? How can I obey you? I'm glad to be of service to you, Lord, to give love, to receive love. Lord, everything that happens seems to be a reminder that you love me, even when a disaster happens, because I see only you could get me through. Are you giving and receiving love between you and God? Do you feel loved by Him? That's a good question to ask yourself. Because those who are closest to you and really love you, you really do feel loved by them. If you don't feel loved by them, that means you're cutting yourself off from them, or maybe they're too busy for you or whatever. But can you say to yourself, it is well with my soul? In your character, deep down inside, can you say, okay, there's peace between me and God. And I have a long way to go, but He's working on me, and I'm so thankful. You feel that 100% acceptance by Him, and therefore you're motivated to make every effort to follow Him. Are you treating others like you want to be treated? Again, it starts from the soul, it goes outward. Jesus said that's a summary of the law and the prophets. When I was looking through the Bible about this growth of our souls and making every effort to confirm our salvation, as a pastor, I have to tell you how I wanted to stack the deck here. As a pastor, I wanted to find a lot of passages that said this. Here's how you make every effort. Go to church more. Now, the Bible says gather more and more. That's true. But pray more. And read your Bible more, and serve more, and give more, and witness more. And if you do those things, that's good. I love those kind of sermons. I saw that in the Bible. But I saw more in the Bible this right here. I saw God saying, get your soul healthy with me and work on that. And then the other things will begin to make more sense to you. You will do them with more joy. And you'll do them for the right reasons. Because I think back on my life and other people's lives. I can do the go to church all the time thing and pray a lot thing and witness a lot and serve a lot and have very little of these. Have you ever done that? I mean, I could do that. That's an ugly thing when it happens. You just become full of religion and full of yourself at that point. But these can only come from a life that says, okay, Lord, you have to build my character. Because that's the only way it's going to be of any benefit to other people. And the Lord wants that for us. That's the good news. You know, He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And we're so glad about that. So I'm going to close with two quotes that would help your soul. Make every effort. Charles Spurgeon said, the absence of Christ is hell. So you feel that separation from God if you've never received Him. And that's a real place forever. But the presence of Christ is heaven. You should feel that too. Every once in a while, if you're really a Christian, you say, this is like heaven. Just being with Christ, you know, right where I'm at work, with your family, church, whatever. And Spurgeon said, always desire an increasing closeness with the Lord. This is a sure sign that you've been touched by His grace. You want a character that's more like the Lord. And then a word of surrender, a challenge from a fellow named Philip Doldridge. He was a big, he impacted William Wilberforce. He wrote a book called The Rise and Progress of Faith in the Soul. That's what we're talking about here, that the character God would build. impact the family, impact the nation. He says, prayed this, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I renounce all former lords that have ruled over me. There's a lot of bad lords, starting with the tyrant of self. I consecrate to you all that I am, all that I have. My mind, my body, my time, my possessions, my influence, and the events of my life. So you put him in the safest place at the feet of Jesus. And you say, these are all for Jesus. My successes of a noble sort, my successes of a corrupt sort that I needed to repent from, the times I turn my back on God, I put it before Christ. And I say, could you bring life out of this mess that I have made? I leave the management of all my affairs to you. I say without reserve, not my will, but your will be done. So it's to make every effort. It's not a question of our willfulness. When I was a young Christian, I thought, if I could just follow Jesus like I, you know, just by my own determination, I would be a great Christian. Because I know how to be determined. You tell me to dig a ditch, I'll dig 10 ditches. I like determination. But it's not about my willfulness. It was about my willingness. About your willingness to surrender to God. Say, God, I'd like to make every effort with the gift you've given to change my soul, change my character, so that Christ would shine. And I would know, Lord, above all, where I'm at with you. Make your election sure. It's easy to get fooled. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago. He said, two or three times a year or more, we say, did I really receive Christ? I still ask myself that question as a pastor. Because I don't want, you know, wouldn't that be a waste? You're preaching away about somebody you never knew. It wouldn't be the first time that would happen. But to really know God and want to follow Him. Through the grace of God. So, be at peace with Him in your soul. Surrender to Him as we pray. And thank the Lord for the opportunity to make every effort. Father, we think about what we work hard at. And sometimes would say, well, we work hardest at work. Where else are we going to work harder? Work hard at changing our spouse. Or work hard about trying to fix the past when it just needs to be healed by your hand. So I pray, Lord, we would work hardest at our soul and receiving your grace sufficient for what the change is needed. And Lord, it's a sobering thing to see our soul's condition, but it gives us hope because we get to look at Jesus at that point and see all He can do. So please, in your kindness and goodness, might we make every effort to have these things in increasing measure, and bless your dear people who would hunger for you and for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.